constantly having encounters with God. That it's not just a one-off, but I still feel you've got to at least have one. And one of my concerns is that I don't know whether everybody's had an encounter with God. So what I want you to do, now don't feel too nervous about this, but if you go, I've definitely had a supernatural encounter of some sort with God. It doesn't matter how old you were when it happened. Why don't you just put your hand in the air? If you go, man, okay, just everybody just have a bit of a look around. Okay, so that's just about everybody in the room. There is a few that haven't. And my desire tonight is twofold. One, I want people that haven't had an encounter with God to decide that they want to go after an encounter with God. Now you may have been trying. You know, I talked to a lady today, and she said that she's been after an encounter with God for 40 years. And she still, what I loved about her spirit was she was still going, I'm still desiring it, wanting it. I'm still looking for it. And my challenge to you, if you're in that case where you're going, man, I haven't really sensed the presence of God, or people talk about encounter with God. I know for me, my wiring is that I don't often feel the presence of God. I have had two very supernatural experiences. One was when I was 5 years old. I was, we were in Brisbane, Australia, and they used to do church, really cool. They'd do church at 4, and then they'd stop at about 5:30. They'd have dinner, and then they'd do church again at 6:30 or 7. It was kind of cool. You all had dinner together, and it was sort of revival happening in this church. And I was only 5 years old, and they'd done a little teaching in the first bit about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that it's for anyone. It's for anyone. All you got to do is ask God. And I thought, wow, this sounds really cool, man. And so at 5 years old, I remember they invited us to come out, and it was like out the front of church. Church wasn't going on. It was sort of in this dinner break. So they sort of made it so, you know, dinner or going and receiving the Holy Spirit, you know. So it wasn't people just doing it because it was the only thing. And they had a little circle of chairs down the front. And this lady started talking. And then she said, look, we're just going to come and we're going to lay hands on you. And I'm going, oh, yeah, okay, that's cool. And I'm sitting there and this lady lays hands on me. And bang, the power of God. And I didn't even know what I was expecting. Like, I didn't even know, you know, I'm 5 years old. Yeah. How many of you remember being 5 years old? There's not a lot you can remember about 5 years old, but I can remember that, and the Holy Spirit came on, and I started speaking in tongues, and it just flows. It was an encounter with God, and it's etched on my mind and on my heart, and I can remember it. The other encounter I had was a bit of a negative spiritual encounter, but my desire is that everybody has an encounter with God. And I found that I've had to tune myself into it, because I find at times, at times I don't feel the presence of God. You know, we're singing a song tonight about, hey, look, even if you don't feel it, even when I don't feel it, you're working. That is so true. You know, you might not feel anything. You know how there's different people, electricity is often talked about being a little bit like the Holy Spirit, and there's people that can go up to the electric fence and just grab it. Do you know people like that?
Yeah.
And they just go, mm-hmm. Now there's other people that can't even put a little piece of grass on it, and they go, we're wired differently. We sense, and I think that's the same with God's Holy Spirit. Some of us just, you know, I know Eleanor has senses it more to me. We've been in meetings and she's sort of drunk and the spirit lost it. I'm standing there going, I've been on altar calls where I'm standing on there and everybody just the power of God, and I'm the only one standing. What's wrong with me? And I go, hey, look, you everything in God, you've got to receive by faith. You can't. It's not about the feeling, but I also go, it is about having an encounter with God and knowing that God's real. Here's just a couple of, I've been searching out encounters with God. And so there's all sorts of encounters with God that can happen, but God's speaking all the time. I was listening to a guy named Clayton King. He'd written a book about, you know, God encounters. And he says, God's speaking all the time, but sometimes we don't realize it. And he shares this story where he's driving home from being away for two couple of days. And he's driving home and he just sort of feels that he wants to go and talk and spend time with a pastor. So he's on his way home. He's about 2 hours out and he's thinking, I'm going to go visit and have lunch with this pastor. It'll mean I'm another hour or two later home, but that doesn't matter. There's not much going on at home and that. So he's driving into the car park to surprise this pastor to have lunch with him, and he feels the Holy Spirit say, go home now. And he goes, oh. And you know, for me, the voice of God, often it's a step of faith. It's always, I'm not sure, is this me or is this God? And so he sort of thinks, no, I'll go in. And he's just about to get out of the car, and his wife rings him. And he goes, ooh. And so his wife rings him and says, are you coming home now? And he goes, well, I was just going to stop here, but what, do you think I need to come home? No, I just thought it'd be good if you were home a bit earlier. I just felt you should come out. He says, well, I was going to go visit this guy, but I'll come home because there's a second confirmation. I need to go home. So he drives home and he gets to his house. He walks in and everyone in the house has gone and had an afternoon sleep. And he's thinking, here I am back after 2 days. I've come home this hour or two early and they're all asleep. What's the point of that? And so he was a little bit miffed and thinking, God, did I hear you? Did I not hear you? So he sits down on the couch and puts on sports, which is a good thing to play. I suppose, what else did you do? And he's sitting there and he said, 5 minutes later, there's a knock at the door, an urgent knock at the door. He goes to the door and there's this 12-year-old boy who's a neighbor, and he said our road is about half a K down, well, 200 or 300 meters, sorry, our house is 200 or 300 meters down the drive. So this guy's puffing and going, and the guy goes, you've got to come, mum's just had an accident, she fell asleep at the wheel and she's gone into a ditch, and you've got to come. So he's jumped up now, he's going, ooh, this must be what God's told me to come home early for. And he rushes to this up the drive to where this car is there, and excuse me, this is a little bit gory, but just ignore it if you don't like gory. And when he gets there, the lady was driving along asleep, and she had her arm out the window, and she'd lost her arm. It was gone, and he said, I got there, and she'd sort of put her seatbelt around, trying to hold, stop the bleeding, and he's going, oh my goodness. And so they ring the ambulance. The ambulance comes, and so this guy, they found her arm 10 meters away, and he's going, I've seen on TV they put them in ice. So he runs back home and he gets a chili bin and some ice and some water, and he runs back and he gets the arm and he puts it in there, and the ambulance comes, and the lady is getting into the ambulance about to go, and he said to the guys, oh, don't you want to take the arm? They go, oh, no, it's too late. They won't be able to do anything with it. He goes, no, you should take it. I know if it was my arm, I'd want someone at least to try and take it to the hospital. For goodness sake, don't just leave it here. We don't. So they do. They put the arm in and take it in, and it gets reestablished, and the lady now has all the use of her hands and feeling in three of her fingers. And you go, that was a God thing. That was a God thing. That was him coming home. And now, if he hadn't been there, it fits. No arm. Be armless. Wouldn't be good. My desire for us is that I believe we should be having supernatural encounters every day. That we carry the presence of God, that we carry a knowledge of God. You know, I've talked a little bit, and I went and found it, about Charles Finney. Charles Finney was a guy who really just sought after the power of God. And he did a meeting, and a church meeting in a little town, and a lot of them weren't happy about their meeting. They thought it was ridiculous and were actually speaking against him. And so the people were a bit upset, and he went to a cotton mill, and I'll just read this story of what happened for him. As Finney walked into the cotton mill, One of the opponents of the meeting, one of the people that weren't happy about the meeting, a young lady employee, he saw him. Looking at her co-employer, she began to laugh. Some writers say that she made cynical remarks about Finney and his meeting. In a spirit of prayer, Charles Finney simply looked at this young lady without saying a word. As he kept looking at her, being grieved by her criticism, the lady stopped working as she had broken her thread. She became so upset that she couldn't repair the thread and start again. The Spirit of God convicted her so much of sin that she began to weep. Soon, all her companions were convicted and began to weep. And a chain reaction occurred as hundreds became overcome by their lost condition. Isn't that amazing? The person carried the presence of God into a place and it began to affect the people around it. I believe that's what we've called to have. We've called to have the Spirit working in us and having effect on the people around us. Let me just give you a couple of verses that I think are really... Oh, just as another aside, my dad once, we were in Australia, so again, I must have been only about five. We went to visit, as a family, went to visit these people, and he had one of those old Holdens that the brake, you pulled the brake out, and then to let it go, you flicked it and it shot back in. How many people remember those? Oh, okay, there's enough older people here to remember those sort of cars. So this brake was, you had to be careful. You pulled the brake on, it was the handbrake, and you stopped there. And so he parked it on a hill and put the brake on, and as he got out of the car, he felt God say, lock the car. But he didn't listen. He didn't lock the car. And so we all went in there, and then about half an hour later, I wanted to get something out of the car. So I went down to get something out of the car. Dad didn't even know. And as I got out of the car in the front seat, I kicked that brake and it went off and the car started to roll down the bank. And I jumped out and the car rolled over my legs. They're all right, as you can see. Well, they're actually pretty good, actually. it rolled over my legs and the car just about went... That was a freebie, that one. It just about went down the cliff, and I mean, I was yelling. He would hear me, and he just came back out, and he thought, "Yeah, the Holy Spirit just told me lock the car, and I didn't do it." And I think once we get to heaven, we're going to all have stories where we went, God shows us, "Hey, you did this. You don't know what that repercussion is." The challenge is that are we listening and are we being obedient to it? And my rule of thumb is, if it's a good thing, I should do it. If it's going to help someone, if it's going to encourage someone, then it's God and I'm going to do it. And even if I get it wrong, even if I look silly, I don't care. Because at least I've obeyed God. And God knows the heart, knows that, hey, I've had a go. So Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart." Psalm 145:18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth." Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." My desire for everybody here is that you have an encounter with God and you're seeking an encounter with God. You know, on the day of Pentecost, everybody in the room, 120 people in Acts 2, every person got filled with the Holy Spirit. And my desire is that everybody that comes to church has an encounter with God. The fascinating thing is that people who don't even know God come into this place as a cafe and go, there's something different in here. The presence of God is real. And so what I wanted to do tonight was to ask a few people to come and tell us about their God encounter. What's your God? What's one of your God encounters? Won't be their only one. What's one of your God encounters that just to get you inspired and get you to go, man, I need to be having a regular encounter with God. And so our first one tonight is Josh. So give Josh a big hand.
Thank you, Josh.
Hey, guys. Yeah, so when I was 13, so I grew up in a conservative church, and I kind of stopped going to church through year 9 and 10 in high school. And when I was 13... my mate had started going to Life Church up in Auckland, He's at C3 now, but he started going to Life Church. And he was just on fire for God. Like, he was so passionate and just on fire. And one day, like, I was staying at his house, and he was like, "Oh, can I pray for you? Pray that the Holy Spirit comes on you." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I don't even know what the Holy Spirit is, really." But I said yes. So he was praying for me. And, like, all of a sudden, I fell over, and I started speaking in tongues, and I just felt, wow, like, the tangible presence of God, like, all over me. And I didn't know what was going on, and I started speaking in tongues, and, you know, it was just in his bedroom, which I think is pretty cool. You know, sometimes it doesn't happen where we expect it to happen. We come to church, and we're like, "Man, this is my time." But maybe it's in your bedroom or in a place where you don't expect. So, yeah, that's my story.
It's awesome. Fantastic. Brett. Brett's going to come and tell us his story. Give Brett a hand. Yeah. Woohoo!
Hey there. Who's heard of Rodney Howard Brown? Toronto Blessing. All right, so in South Africa, it's probably about 2 decades ago, I was at our church service, and we had Rodney Howard Brown come over. You know, he's got this ministry of everyone getting full of the Holy Spirit and falling on the floor and speaking in tongues and laughing and rolling around. And I thought, okay, Lord, if this is for me, I'm going to just focus and surrender myself to you, Lord. Lifted my hands in the air, closed my eyes, and I heard all this clattering and noise around me. And then it happened. I opened my eyes, and I was still standing. And I was wondering, what's wrong with me? What's wrong? Anyway, only since I've been to City Church here in New Zealand, I've actually learned more about the Holy Spirit and pressing into the Holy Spirit. And now that I know more about the Holy Spirit and pressed into Him, in my quiet times and times in the car and when I'm on my own, pressing, I get such powerful communion with God. And so this sort of, my whole body's like overwhelmed with like crying and all that kind of stuff. Quite entertaining for the other drivers around me. But anyway.
Is that dangerous?
It could be.
Okay.
It's Holy Spirit led, so it should be okay. And so I just wanted, my story is that it's, you know, the same experience is not the same for everyone.
That's true.
So just press in, and the Spirit will meet you there.
That's awesome. Very good. Fantastic. Karen. Karen's going to come in. Nah, you've got to come up here. Everyone wants to be able to see you.
Okay, awesome. Well, mine is a miracle that happened. I was in my early 20s, and one of our girls was about 3, and Rack was out the back. It sounds a car one again. And Rack was out the backyard with his brother, and he was moving a trailer load full of concrete pieces. And it would have been, what, 3 ton, you reckon? 3 or 4 ton, he reckons, this trailer. And he was having to back it out of the driveway. And Brooke was out there with them, playing with her ball in the yard, which was separate from the driveway. But she kicked the ball, and it went behind the trailer. And my brother-in-law was so just focused on helping Rark move this trailer out the backyard with backing, he didn't see Brooke run under the back of the trailer, fall down on the ground to pick up the ball. And this trailer, she was lying on her tummy. The trailer ran up and landed on her, just sat on her back here. She was a 3-year-old. And I heard my brother-in-law yell like I've never heard a man yell before. And boy, I was out that house in the biggest hurry. And I saw she was pinned under this trailer, which was on top of her, not moving, just lying there. I screamed and I cried out to God. And I said, "God, you got to help us here. It's like, God, she's dead." Anyway, Rack realized what was happening. He had to take the trailer off her, and it sort of had to go back up over and off when he did it. And she jumped up and ran off.
Wow.
That was a total miracle, I tell you. There was no way she could have survived that. It was absolutely God. He acted. And I often think to myself, how often does God act on our behalf when we cry out to Him? Things look like they never even happened, so you just discount it. Yep. But actually, something would have happened if you hadn't yelled
that's
out
so good.
Him.
Oh, that's exciting. That gives me goosebumps. Can I give you a goosebumps? I'm Rachel. Where's Rachel? Rachel, come. Gee, your story. Give her a hand. Come on.
Hey, well, my Holy Spirit encounter, my most memorable one was in my lounge room. So it was, I just had a miscarriage of twins, and I was lying in bed that night, or probably a few weeks later, and I couldn't get to sleep. So I went out to the lounge, and I turned the music up really loud. No one woke up, amazingly, and I just started crying and crying out to God and worshipping God. And I was like, God, you know, you've got to come through. You've got to help me here. Because by this time, I was pregnant again with another set of twins. And it was showing all the signs that I was going to miscarry again. So I was like desperate. I wanted God to come through for me. And then I got this, I'd gone from the couch crying. And then I was down on my knees. I was on the floor. I got this scripture in Luke 8 about the story of the woman with the issue of blood and how she was reaching out and trying to touch the hem of his garment. And I just saw this sort of story unfold in front of my eyes, and I was putting myself in that woman's place, and I was going, God, you've got to come through for me. You're the only way that I can be healed. You're the only way that I can get through this. And I just felt, and then I saw a picture of Jesus' feet just sort of walking around in front of me, and I just literally reached out and grabbed the hem, claimed that healing. But the funny thing was is that I felt such a peace, like, you know, that scripture, the peace that passes all understanding. Right. And it was so real to me, and I could just feel this burning in my stomach, and it was rising up, and the Holy Spirit just totally came and touched me right there in that place. And I went to bed that night, and I felt like I'd had enough. Like, I knew that I didn't actually expect the prayer to be answered. Like, I knew that I'd had a touch from the Holy Spirit, and that was enough for me. Like, I felt at peace. So, you know, going to bed that night, either way, whatever the outcome was from that situation, I just had the peace that it was, you know, God had answered my prayer, whether it was a prayer to make my pregnancy come to fulfillment or whether it went the other way. But it did come to fulfillment, amen.
Yeah. And we have Ben and Alyssa. Yay. Fantastic, isn't that good? Okay, Delwyn, do you want to come and share? So this week, or a week or two ago, we were all in the office, and I'd just been really encouraging people to talk about their encounters. So we'd gone round the table. That's why all these guys are up here, because I went, oh, this is exciting. Everybody should hear their stories. And Delwyn's one was exciting too, so I wanted to hear that one.
Okay, so about 20 years ago, I was 8 months pregnant with our third girl, and we were in a fairly sort of traditional church, but we just had this real sense, Terry and I, that we just wanted more of God. And anyway, at the time there was a group of young people, listen to this, young people, because this is really important, a group of young people who were getting together on their own volition to have a prayer meeting because they were all searching out God.
Wow.
And anyway, Terry decided that he was going to go to this prayer meeting. And it was actually the day before Mother's Day. And so he goes along to this prayer meeting, and he gets just completely and totally zapped by the Holy Spirit. So much so, he was drunk in the Holy Spirit. And I'm at home in bed, very pregnant, and I'm lying there and I'm thinking, I wonder when he's going to come home. He was prayed for 3 hours in that prayer meeting. And he just had this great time with God. He was surfing and all sorts of stuff. And the Spirit. Now, he came home from that, and I hear the car pull up outside. And I'm lying in bed getting quite agitated by this stage. And I hear his voice go, "Hello there!" I'm thinking, what on earth is he doing? It was midnight. It was midnight. And so he comes in, he goes to me, this is word for word, he goes to me, "Don't worry, darling, I'm going to still give you a good Mother's Day," like this. And he was like he was completely drunk, but it was totally the Spirit of God.
Wow.
I don't know how he got home. Honestly, I don't know how he drove home. And the next day we went to church, and he was loud and he was shaking. And I was just so embarrassed, so embarrassed. He would literally go up to people. He would go up to people and he'd go, "Hi," you know, like this. And then, of course, the preacher was preaching and he was agreeing with them really loud. And the whole pew was shaking like this. And I'm sitting there. No one's sitting next to us because the whole pew. And I was really, really embarrassed. And I thought, I can't live with this guy. He's gone nuts. And so it took It took a while for, I mean, obviously he doesn't do that now, but, you know, he calmed down a bit. But I had to really work that one through, because he had had this incredible encounter, but I wasn't at that level. I wasn't on the same page as him. But what happened is about 3 months later, that same group of young people came round to our house and had a prayer meeting. And it was there that I got prayed for. And I got a complete zap of the Holy Spirit like he had. And it was just so precious. And that, to me, was such a turning point in my relationship with God. Such a turning point in me feeling the Holy Spirit on me, you know, when I worship and all that sort of thing. So just really encourage. It doesn't have to, you know, a group of young people who just are passionate for God, who really want more of God, to get together and just pray.
That's awesome. Yeah, very good. Rocky.
Rocky's going to come. I know my dad, for getting baptized in the Holy Spirit,
they used to have these meetings called tarry meetings, where you'd come and you'd just wait for the presence of God to come. And he was 6 months, time and time, going back, asking God, asking for the presence of God to come. And he's riding his bike home one day, and suddenly starts speaking in tongues while he's riding his bike, which wobbled around in that. But you got to keep believing God. Keep asking God. I think we give up too soon in that. Rocky.
So, being my age, I've had a number of experiences with God, I'll be honest with you. But I'll take you back to when I first gave my life to the Lord. And it was a time where, talking about spiritual holdbacks, things in your life, unconfessed sin, things that held on from family ties. Because I don't know if you know this, but, you know, if you're not careful, there's hereditary spirits that take a hold of you. And we don't talk about a lot now, but young people, you need to know this, that what you get engaged with in your life, there's a spirit attached to it. And if it ain't the Spirit of God, it'll attach to your soul and it'll hold you back from the things of God. Anyway, we talked a lot about this. At 16 years old, not long after I became a Christian, these Americans came to church. And of course, if you're American, you've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so they said to the said to our youth group, hey, we want to pray for you. The guys are going to put in this room, and the girls we're going to put in that room. And what we're going to do, we're going to cast out every spirit over your life. So we're going to take a turn. And of course, I was like, oh, sweet, mean, that's cool. Don't know what it means, but all good. 3 hours later, I become conscious. And this is what they tell me, because I have no recollection of this. I was standing being prayed for. I was thrown up into the air onto the bed in the room. They prayed for me. I levitated off the floor, spun a few times, spoke in a demonic voice. Demons came out of me. And then I was put into my right mind.
Wow.
At 16 years old. I have no recollection of this, by the way, other than Americans who tell you the truth all the time. And and my youth group boys are all against the wall going, what the hey? But look, I just want to tell you, don't mess with stuff.
Yeah.
I want to encourage you, young people especially, and maybe not so young people, don't mess with things. There's spirits attached to stuff. Yeah. Same to freak you out. But those spirits will try to hold you back from experiencing the things that some of these people will be talking about.
Yes.
Can I just share real quickly
a
not so glorious moment with God? It's so recent, because you've heard about some not so recents. What's today? Sunday. Yesterday, I'm sitting in the departure lounge at the Wellington Airport, ready to come home. And I'm reading a book. It's the Faith book by Pastor Phil. And the Holy Ghost says, look at you, sitting here, reading this book, filling your soul. Look at all these people. How many of them are going to hell? Get your tushy up and start walking the aisles and asking people, do you need me to pray for you? Would you like me to pray for you? Guess what? I got up. I began to pray. I just walked the aisles. Hi, I'm Rocky. I've got a bit of time. I'm a believer in God, and I'd love to pray for you if you have a need. No thanks. What about you? No thanks. Walking along, I was getting really a bit discouraged. Finally, I get to this one lady named Kyla. She says to me, I'd love you to pray for me. She started describing her I don't know what it is, arthritis, but it's fusion. Does that make sense? Okay. Anyway, her and her husband suffer from it. They have tons and tons of medication. I said, are you a believer? Not at all. Great, I am. I've got enough faith for both of us. Would you allow me to take your hand, pray for you, and just believe that God would bring you a healing in this moment? She said, absolutely. So gave me a hand. I prayed for her. I said, right, would you stand to your feet? Because I know God's real. Would you just try to do something that you've been unable to do before? She got up. She bent down, touched her toes, stood back up. I said, can't do that before? No. I said, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's so good. Come on. Eleanor. Eleanor's going to, the last one, Eleanor's going to come and just share. And then we're going to read something. And
I have shared about being baptized in the Holy Spirit before, so I'll share something else. Like Rocky had lots of encounters with God over the years. But I remember in 96 we had Mari Cartledge come, and it was a wild meeting, and she prayed for me, and like many others she prayed for, I hit the deck, and I was down for, I think, about 2 hours. It was just one of those crazy wild meetings. It was the Toronto Blessing and, you know, Brownsville, and it was a move of God that was happening in North America, and it spread to here. The next day in my class at Bethlehem College, year six, playing my guitar in our devotions time, they're sitting around, and I just felt like we'd had our devotion, we'd prayed, we'd said the memory verse, I'd read the word to them, we'd sang a worship song, but I just felt like the Lord said, just do one more song. So I said, okay, guys, I just feel we should do one more song. So I'm just with my eyes shut, playing my guitar, and we're singing. And then I hear this sniffing, and I think, I hate it when they sniff. Why don't they just blow their nose? And I was too tight to buy boxes of tissues for them, so I used to just take toilet rolls out of the toilets and put them there. And so I was just thinking, why don't they blow their nose? And then I heard more sniffing and more, and I was just like, what? And I open my eye and look around, and they're crying. Heaps of them are crying. And I figure this is probably the Lord, because I don't normally just cry during worship songs. And bear in mind, only about, there's at least a third of them not Christians or not from Christian families. And then there's more crying. And then so I'm just like, well, let's just keep worshiping. And then I just see some of the Christian kids start laying hands on other kids without me telling them to. And some of them, they were sitting down, but some of them falling back just under the power of God. So they were like, you know, looked like they were out cold on the ground. And then I'm just like, oh, wow. And I did not lay hands on nobody. I was playing my guitar. And then so more start. And then one guy goes, Miss, I can just see this like narrow path in front of me. And there's, a wide road here. And I just feel like God's telling me to not go on the wide road, to go on the narrow road. And I'm like, that's in the Bible. And he's like, no way. Because he wasn't a Christian and he didn't even know that was in the Bible. And then we'd been told if there was ever a move of God to let the office know, you know, just so that the principal could know what was going on in the school. And so I just said to one of the kids, go and tell Mr. Rennelly, and he went and told. So they knew what was happening, but it just kept going until interval. And at one point I said, well, if you want to do your spelling, you can, but if you just want to wait on God, you can keep waiting on God. And I think one boy got up and did a spelling, the rest of them just kept waiting on God. And they were just like ministering to each other. And I realized what had happened was the anointing. I thought, what's different today about other days? The anointing had got on me the night before when I was down under the power of God. And then even though I didn't touch anybody, he was still on me, and he broke out amongst all the kids the next day. And it was so amazing. And even by interval, by then the chair of the board had arrived, and the principal, they were just checking it out. And actually, Katie Leitz and a couple of other kids were in my class. The power of God was still on them at interval. They were still lying on the ground crying and shaking under the power of God, and I was trying to like get them to stand up and go and have their morning tea. You know, but it's just amazing. You don't only know what your encounter does.
Yes.
It's not only for you. He wants to even minister through the deposit he puts on you in those times to other people, even at later times.
Fantastic. You can take the mic. Yeah, go on. Give her a hand. That was great. Musicians, you can come. We sang a song tonight about the rain. And I thought I should just read to you from Elijah, from 1 Kings 18, where it talks about this rain. Elijah in the Bible, who would, if he's alive today, would be extremely old. Elijah there had challenged Baal. Like this guy Elijah had said, Baal was a god that they worshipped. And Baal was really the god of the rain and of the weather. That was the god. So Elijah, 3 years earlier, had said, there won't be rain again in this nation until I say the word. And so drought had come. And it had been drought, no rain for 3 years. You imagine how it would look outside if there was no rain for 3 years. No rain for 3 years. And so, and basically he was saying, you've got to know that God's the God, the real God, that this is a fake God. And so they go up on the mountain and they have this challenge to see whose God's real. And nothing happens for the 400 prophets. When Elijah prays, fire falls down from heaven and consumes the whole altar and all the water and everything. It's you can go read it in 1 Kings 18. But afterwards, he goes and he sits on a hill or on the hill there and starts praying for rain. And so let me just... He says to Ahab, go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a rainstorm coming. Now, at that stage, there's no rain for 3 years. It's like a full-on drought. And the sky's blue. There's not a cloud in the sky. And so Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. And then he said to his servant, go and look out towards the sea. The servant went and looked and then returned to Elijah and said, I didn't see anything. So Elijah prays again. And then he sends a servant again, says, go and have a look. And the guy comes back. Nah, there's nothing. So he starts praying again. I don't know how long he prayed for. Could have been 5 minutes, could have been 10, could have been half an hour. He prayed and then he goes, go have a look again. So the guy goes and have a look, comes back. Nah, there's no clouds out towards the sea. That's three times. Oh, a lot of us give up at three. It says, go again. So he prays again and he says, go again. Four times. Comes back. Nah, there's nothing out there, man. What are you doing? There's nothing out there. Again, Elijah just begins to pray and says, God, we need to see rain come. We need to see rain come. Sends a servant again. Again, comes back. Nah, there's nothing out there, man. Nothing out there. Prays again. Sends him again. Comes back again. Nah, mate, there's nothing there. Six times. Seven times, Elijah told him to go and look. Finally, the seventh time, his servant told him, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. Then Elijah shouted, hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and get back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. And as soon as the sky was black with clouds, a heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked in his cloak, it's like his dress, tucked in his cloak, into his belt, and ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. Here's the thing. I believe that when you begin to worship and you begin to set your heart, you will have an encounter with God. And we sing the song, Lord, we receive your rain. We're talking about a spiritual rain, but as I was praying there tonight, I feel some of you need a blessing, fresh blessing. Maybe it's financial, maybe there's a situation. And we're going to open the altar. And if you go, I haven't had an encounter with God, my desire for you is to come and just stand in the presence as we sing and as we worship. Or if you go, man, I just need a fresh and filling. I haven't had an encounter with God for years, for months, for days, whatever. And you go, I just feel like I need a refreshing. You know, some of us will go, oh, well, let's just wait until next week. But I'm going, I really want to encourage you. Come tonight. I just sense there's the presence of God. Why don't we all stand? Let's all put our hands down and you can start moving anytime if you go, man, that's me. I need an encounter with God. The altar's open. Father, right now we thank you that you're a God that lives, that's alive, that's living. We don't speak to a dead God. You're alive. And Lord, that your word says you inhabit the praises of your people. Your word says that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. So right now, we just pray for a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit on every person in this room. God, we need you. We can't do life by ourselves. We need you. We need your presence. We want to carry your presence. Lord, we want to carry your presence. We want miracles to happen around us. Holy Spirit, come. If you need to respond, you respond, and let's sing.